4 weeks ago, I happened to be on the webcast for this service, and Mr. Van Heusen was giving the sermon there. And I'm basically, my message today is affirming and picking up on the theme of his message that he delivered. So let's begin. In the year 1900, there was a man named Brito Morsdal who was born in Norway. Now, according to a general biography of this man, he seemed to live a pretty ordinary life. He loved painting, fishing, skiing, and was the director of parks and recreation in the Norwegian county where he resided. Well, then, he died of a heart condition in 1989. But he was not buried or cremated. 9 years prior to Brito's death, his grandson Trygve came to the U.S. on a temporary visa. Escaping Norway, he wanted to be safe from nuclear war. I suppose tensions between the Soviet Union and the United States at that time were, high enough to cause him alarm. Well, he ended up in Colorado. Well, Trygve was kind of the hippie type with long hair and sort of a particular dislike of authority. He was arrested for joking about hijacking a plane and was caught trespassing on the Colorado University president's property. Well, Trygve actually held some world records for what is called winter schwimmen or extreme ice bathing. And no doubt related to this, he founded the Boulder, Colorado Polar Bear Club. Well, this unsqueamish group of folks in polar bear clubs will cut holes into lake ice in the middle of winter and then dive right in. My uncle actually does this every year in January in the frozen Lake Blackwell just outside of Holm City, Minnesota. And my uncle and aunt have asked me in the past if I wanted to join them. And for me, it was a hard pass, which is another way of saying that it has always been easy for me to say no to that. Now, this apparent fascination with cold, along with an unconventional mindset, led Trygve to have his grandfather's body shipped in dry ice from Norway to a cryogenics facility in Oakland, California. There, Brito remained for 4 years until Trygve had the body shipped to his home in Nederland, Colorado. Now, along with building his own disaster-proof house, Trygve had hopes of building his own cryogenics storage shed. Until that time, Brito, his grandfather, would be kept frozen in Colorado using dry ice. Now, in temperature scales, we're probably all familiar with Fahrenheit and Celsius, right? But in the scientific world, there's also the Kelvin scale. Now, this particular method of measuring temperature does not have negative numbers like Fahrenheit and Celsius. So 0 degrees Kelvin is as cold as it gets. Now, this would be about 450 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. Now, this is a theoretical temperature, as it's never been reached here on Earth. And you may know 0 degrees Kelvin as another term, absolute zero. Now, when bodies are frozen in a cryonic capsule, liquid nitrogen is used. Now, nitrogen makes up about 78% of the air we breathe, so this element is quite abundant here on Earth. But to turn this gas into a liquid state, the temperature needs to be about minus 320 degrees Fahrenheit. We can actually achieve this cold temperature in laboratories. Or I guess to make it sound less frigid, we can say it's about 77 degrees Kelvin. But that's cold any way you state it. Dry ice, the solid form of carbon dioxide, is by comparison a balmy 109 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. Well, Trygve had a plan. Keep his grandfather's frozen body in the hopes that future medical technology could bring his grandfather back to life. This is the idea and hope with the cryogenic facilities in the United States and Russia. Now, I do find it somewhat ironic that for years the U.S. and Russia battled in a Cold War, and currently these are the only two countries where cold body storage facilities are actually located. Now, scientists who are in this cryonics realm have studied how ice crystals can damage cell structures. So to avoid this, a body can be frozen in temperatures so cold that ice crystals do not form. This is why liquid nitrogen is used. Dry ice is not cold enough. So this doesn't bode well for Brado Morstell. He was shipped to the U.S. in dry ice from Norway, remember, and spent many years kept in dry ice in Colorado. Now, Brito's daughter and Trygve's mother, Aud Morstell, A-U-D, Aud, moved from Norway to Colorado to join her son. But when Trygve's visa time had run out, the INS issued a deportation warrant for him. Well, declaring himself a fugitive from justice, Trygve managed to evade authorities for a short time before he was apprehended in 1994 and sent back to Norway. Well, it was then up to his mom to finish the bomb shelter and watch over the shed with the frozen body of her father in it. Aud was eventually given an eviction notice for having no electricity or plumbing in this unfinished Colorado residence. Afraid the frozen body of her father would melt, she asked the local paper to plead her case to the town hall. Well, this was news to everyone. There was a frozen dead person being kept on local property. Well, within 24 hours, the news became an international event with reporters from all over the world arriving in Nederland, Colorado. An emergency town hall meeting was held, and an ordinance was passed stating it was illegal to, quote, have the whole or any part of the person, body, or carcass of a human being or animal or other biological species which is not alive on one's property. Well, a three-person jury found Aud guilty of living in a building that had not gone through final inspection, changing the building's use without a permit, and violating the town's zoning codes. She was soon deported, leaving her father on ice, literally. The town of Nederland then had plans to bury Brito. But the grandson Trygve, he did not give up the fight. From Norway, he aggressively publicized the dilemma on, you know, like cryogenic websites, and he flooded various email lists. Eventually, the idea behind cryogenics was explained to the Nederland town officials. The ordinance that was passed would not have permitted Brito from being kept in a shed, but Brito was granted a grandfather clause, which allowed him to remain. Being at one point adamantly opposed to the storage of a human body in their town, Nederland switched gears. They decided to make a celebration of this frozen man, who they referred to as Grandpa. Now, the shed, which was falling apart, was replaced with a new one, and someone else actually donated an ice-encased aluminum casket. And once a month, three-quarters of a ton of dry ice was shipped from Denver to Nederland to restock the coolant. Now, because of all this hoopla, Nederland created a festival called Frozen Dead Guy Days. Every year in March, there would be live music, coffin races, and, of course, a polar plunge. In 2022, this event attracted more than 22,000 visitors. Now, according to the 2020 census, Nederland has a population of 1,471. So the small town became overwhelmed with this festival, and so town officials canceled the 2023 event. About 40 miles north of Nederland lies the city of Estes Park, Colorado. Now, maybe you've been there, I've been there, and it's quite a beautiful location. It's on the eastern edge of Rocky Mountain National Park, and elk roam throughout the city kind of as freely as squirrels. Now, one of the famous buildings in Estes Park is the Stanley Hotel. It was built in 1909 and was the first hotel in the world to provide electricity throughout the building. Even New York City could not lay claim to that back then. And this hotel became the inspiration for the hotel setting in the kind of the well-known Stephen King novel, The Shining. Refrigerators and freezers were still a way off in 1909, so the Stanley Hotel had an ice house. Now, these insulated sheds preserve ice, which could then be utilized in summer months. This ice house became the next and current holding place for the frozen body of Brito Morstell. This man's body is once again being preserved in liquid nitrogen. Now, to those involved in this storage transfer, it seemed to make a lot of sense to have a frozen guy stored in an ice house. And the ice house became the International Cryonics Museum. With the Frozen Dead Guy Days Festival outgrowing Nederland, Estes Park is now the location. This larger city can well accommodate, and it'll gladly welcome, a large number of visitors. The festival organizers kick off this yearly event with a zombie bar crawl and have a Brito Morstell look-alike contest. It is basically a festival to the dead. I find no mention of this festival being established to honor or remember the life of Brito Morstell. History doesn't record any great achievements of this man, but simply that he loved the outdoors. I'm sure he had many friends and did nice things in his life. But the ballyhoo around this man with the current celebrations focus on the fact that he is dead. It seems like a very uninteresting focal point. But perhaps it is not to those in the cryogenics world. Today, around 500 people are preserved in liquid nitrogen globally, with the vast majority of these being in the United States. Around 4,000 people are currently on waiting lists to be granted entrance to a frozen tomb within a cryonic facility. I mean, baseball fans will know the name of Ted Williams. You know, he's one of the greatest hitters of all time. Both he and his son, John Henry Williams, are cryogenically frozen. People don't want to die. Now, you and I can probably relate to this, but Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 8:8 that mortal death is the end of all men, and that no one has power in the day of death. Paul writes in Romans 5:12 that death has spread to all men. In 2 Samuel 14:14, we are told that we will all surely die, and are like spilled water on the ground which cannot be gathered up again. If you believe the Bible, you will conclude that mortal death is inevitable. Join me in Isaiah 28. Let's read verses 14 through 15. Isaiah chapter 28, and we will read verses 14 through 15. Isaiah 28, and starting in verse 14, the Bible reads, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come for us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves.'" Now, I like how the New Living Translation words verse 15. Let me reread Isaiah 28:15 in the New Living Translation. "You boast, 'We have struck a bargain to cheat death and have made a deal to dodge the grave. For we have built a strong refuge made of lies and deception.'" Now, at the beginning of this chapter from Isaiah in my New King James Bible, there is a heading titled, Woe to Ephraim and Jerusalem. The chapter's beginning describes prideful, drunk people who err in their visions and stumble in judgment. The sinful path of men culminates here in verse 15, where humans will try to cheat death, building for themselves a strong refuge made of lies and deception. In 1484, a man named Giovanni Battista Cibo was ordained Pope Innocent VIII. The man had at least two illegitimate children, was elected under somewhat dubious circumstances, and received numerous criticisms for corruption cases. Now, the Pope began to fall ill and wanted to preserve his life. He had physicians bring three boys before the Pope in exchange for a gold coin. Now, the boys, or the parents of the boys, agreed to give their blood to the pontiff. The Pope and the three boys all died in the middle of the transfusion. Now, the Pope, like many others in history, including to this day, struck a bargain to cheat death. He made a deal to dodge the grave, as Isaiah puts it. But it was a refuge of lies and deceptions, as Isaiah also tells us. In this example, three children were sacrificed. The bargain made here was with Satan, who is, of course, the source of all lies and deception. What does the Bible teach us as to what we are to do with a dead body? God doesn't give us clear commands on this matter. We know at times people were buried, which is perhaps the most common treatment of those who died. We can read about Joseph being embalmed and put in a coffin in Egypt, but he wanted his bones to be taken with Israel when they would eventually leave Egypt. Many people were cremated, like King Saul and his sons. Other bodies were left on the ground to be consumed by birds and animals. It is what Goliath threatened to do with David's body, and what David in turn echoed back to Goliath. Now, considering all the different ways the people of the Bible dealt with their dead, it seems that if God had a particular way that he wanted us to dispose of our loved ones, he would have said so. And we can come to this rather obvious conclusion on the matter. God does not care what happens to our dead bodies. He places emphasis on what we are to do when we are alive. Now, the words of Solomon are maybe ringing in your ear. We can go to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. This is familiar scripture to us, but it fits into this message quite well. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, where the Bible reads, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." God does not put focus on our death. Death is simply the end of the human stage of life. And for all of humanity, we have one of two fates. We will either be transformed into eternal spirit beings, or we will be cremated in the lake of fire. God does not put focus on what to do with our dead bodies, as his focus is on what we should do with our living bodies. But Satan's influence on man will distract humans from what God wants our focus to be. Halloween, Christmas, New Year's Eve celebrations, Valentine's Day, all of these celebrated elements of society all happen in the darkness of winter months. And so does the Frozen Dead Guy Days celebration in Estes Park. Cryonics is one attempt that man has created to preserve life. I mean, it's not an original idea. Egyptians mummified their dead with the idea that bodies could be, you know, preserved in some sort of afterlife. I learned in school that Ponce de Leon, when told by Native Americans that there was a fountain of youth, went searching for it in Florida. Now, in addition to a fountain of youth being imaginary, many people now think the story of his search for such a fountain is just a myth as well. But in 2006, magician David Copperfield issued a press release that he found a fountain of youth in a cluster of Bohemian islands, which he purchased for $50 million. Now, we won't turn back there, but I'll reread Isaiah 28 and verse 15. You boast, we have struck a bargain to cheat death and have made a deal to dodge the grave. For we have built a strong refuge made of lies and deception. Now, we can see in the past that man has struck a bargain in an attempt to cheat death. We can see this currently in our culture. And the future is predicted to rely on human intelligence and advanced technology as a way to dodge the grave. So we need to ask ourselves this question. What is our bargain to cheat death? Now, many years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 2 melanoma, skin cancer. You know, it originated from a birthmark right up here on the side of my head. From there, it expanded to lymph nodes, you know, around my face and neck. And I've had several surgeries to remove cancerous material from my body and was placed on a regimen of PEG interferon injections for 18 months. Now, my oncologist relied on studies of this drug and its effectiveness at staving off future recurrences. My dad is on medication to thin his blood after he survived a heart attack several years ago. My mom currently takes several pills a day to combat high blood pressure and other physical conditions. You may be also on prescribed medication, or at least choose to have limited use of things like processed meats and ice cream, you know, the types of food that most health-related websites instruct us to avoid. Are we all trying to cheat death and preserve our mortal life? Let's go to Isaiah 38 and verse 21. Isaiah 38, and let's read verse 21. Isaiah 38 and verse 21, the Bible reads, "Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice, or a moist mash, on the boil, and he shall recover." Well, Hezekiah here was sick and dying, but we can read earlier in this chapter that God extended Hezekiah's life because God heard Hezekiah's prayers. Figs here were used as medicine. Now, we can read about the medicinal qualities of hyssop in the Bible as well. The National Library of Medicine published an article that notes that there were 45 plant species found in the Bible that, at the least, suggest medical benefits, if not implicitly used for healing or curing an ailment. God cares about our health and our physical well-being. We are to take care of ourselves and each other with respect to our physical health. God has a plan for each one of us, as we've, you know, often cited in various messages from Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. And it may be necessary in this plan for God to extend your life, like he did for Hezekiah. How many people throughout history do you think did wonderful things after their life was extended with remedies such as, you know, hyssop or penicillin? But extending our mortal lives with proper diet and effective medicine is different than attempting to live forever within our human bodies. Postponing death is different than attempting to cheat death. A cheater is never going to win in the long run. And our life is, in fact, about the long run. And there are simply only two outcomes to our life in this long run. It is either about being an eternal child of God or being cremated in the lake of fire. Our bodies are not going to matter. In 1820, the average global life expectancy was 29 years, just 29 years. By 1913, it rose to 34 years. It continued to climb to 58 by 1950, and then 60 in 1973. It reached 66 in 2001, and humanity can now have an average life expectancy into our 70s. Well, this now aligns with Psalm 90 and verse 10, which reveals that our years of life are 70 or by reason of strength, 80. Well, in the long run, this is not a lot of time. And as we know, as we get older, you know, time seems to race by a whole lot faster than it did when we were younger. We don't have much time. So in this limited life that we all have, where does God want our focus to be when we wake up each morning? How should we be spending our time? I want us now to go to Ephesians 5, and let's read verses 15 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 15 through 16. So Ephesians 5, and starting in verse 15, the Bible reads, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, to me personally, I think these verses are more clear to us in other translations. So take the New Century Version, for example. Let me reread Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 with the New Century Version. "So be careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times." God does not put focus on when we die, how we die, or what happens to our bodies after we die. These verses from Ephesians mesh well with what we referenced earlier in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. You know, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." It is our time, our human life now, that God cares about. Whatever we do, do it with our might. Be careful how we live. Do not live like those who are unwise. Use every chance we have to do good. This is our instruction as followers of Jesus Christ. This is our commission. Now let's compare this focal point of a Christian life to what the influence of Satan leads men to do. Now, we don't need to turn back there, but I want to read again Isaiah 28 and verse 15. "You boast, 'We have struck a bargain to cheat death and have made a deal to dodge the grave. For we have built a strong refuge made of lies and deception.'" Throughout the Bible, God gives us a contrast between his ways and the ways of men. God gives us the focus of life and doing good. Satan attempts to give us a focal point of cheating and making deals to dodge the grave. And as noted here in Isaiah and throughout the Bible, Satan's ways are about lies and deceptions. And while God will put a focus on our life, Satan will put a focus on our death. This year, the Frozen Dead Guy Days begins on March 14th in Estes Park. The bar crawl kicks off the festival where costumes are welcomed. I'm quite sure that it wouldn't be much different than a Halloween party. On the same evening, there's a royal ball at the Stanley Hotel. It's a costume and dance party. Now, does this celebration revere the life of Brito Morstal, or does it celebrate his dead body? Now, the weekend festivities continue on Saturday with coffin races and, quote, wild games. I don't know what that is, what wild games are, but I don't think I want to know either. And, of course, there's a polar plunge on Sunday at the Stanley Hotel. Now, in the novel The Shining, I do not recommend this book, but which this novel has a setting inspired by the Stanley Hotel. The wicked novel writer in the story finds himself lost in a hedge maze on the property in the cold of winter. He was chasing his son, wanting to kill him with an axe. The boy and his mom do escape, and the evil man does freeze to death. Now, fittingly, the Stanley Hotel is now the anchor point of the Frozen Dead Guy Days celebration. And Brito Morstal is kept on display in the Ice House Museum. He is chilling there in liquid nitrogen at minus 320 degrees below zero. The celebration, again, was not about the life of this man. The celebration is the applause that the world has for one who is attempting to cheat death. Now, we referenced Isaiah chapter 38 earlier when Isaiah instructed Hezekiah or his staff to apply a fig mash to promote healing. Now, earlier in this chapter, Isaiah approached the king and told him to get his house in order because he was going to die. I want to pick up on that story. Let's go to Isaiah 38. We'll read verses 2 through 3. Isaiah 38. Let's read verses 2 through 3. Isaiah 38, and starting in verse 2, the Bible reads, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." Now note here that Hezekiah looked back on his life and pointed out the good that he had done. Now, it wasn't that Hezekiah was being prideful, but rather that Hezekiah noted that he was redeeming his time on earth, reflecting on what would later be written in Ephesians 5:15, what we referenced earlier. He chose to live wisely, not as a fool. He used his opportunities in life to do good during evil times. Now, we can read about how Hezekiah was one of the most godly leaders of Israel. Well, and then continuing with the story, God heard Hezekiah's prayers in verse 6, Isaiah 38 and verse 6. "I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." God had a plan for Hezekiah. Hezekiah was needed to be the protector of Jerusalem, as the wickedness of man was great upon the earth at this particular time and location. What if Hezekiah had died without God extending his life? Would his eternal outcome be any different if he had died then or lived another 15 years? I don't think so. Hezekiah reflected upon his life and could look back at how he was a child of God. It is an example for us all. We should also live now so we would also have the opportunity at the end of our days to identify the good that we have done. Then Hezekiah has some words fitting for the end of this message here. Isaiah 38, verses 18 through 19. Starting in verse 18, the Bible reads, "For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you, as I do this day The Father shall make known your truth to the children. God is not about death. We cannot praise God in death, and we cannot hope for God's truth in death. The living person is who can praise God. The living person is who can know truth and relay this truth to other people. It is only the living person that can do good. We do not strike a bargain to cheat death. We do not make a deal to dodge the grave. We have our life, and it is to be our focus. It is God's focus, after all. God's truth is that we are to be careful how we live. We are to live wisely, not like fools. Whatever our hands find to do, let us do it with our might. Redeem our time now so that we can look back and have a strong reflection of God's ways in our own life's resume. Now, it took until the end of this message for the title to come about, Redeem Our Time. Be wise in what we do in our life and take the opportunities that we have to do good. Death is no celebration. It's simply the end of our opportunities here in this age. Let's each work for the goal of having a lengthy, godly resume. Redeem our time. That is our commission. Happy Sabbath, everyone.